Kent Brockman is a fictional character in the animated television series The Simpsons. Kent is a grumpy, self-centered, local Springfield news anchor. He knows how to make effective use of the rhetorical tools of hyperbole and exaggeration. In one episode of The Simpsons, he said this, "Ladies and gentlemen, I've been to Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and I can say without hyperbole that this is a million times worse than all of them put together." Well, Jesus also knew how to use hyperbole and exaggeration as an effective rhetorical and teaching tool. So when Jesus utters in today's gospel this word about hating relatives in order to be a disciple, we should instantly adjust our thinking to the realm of hyperbole and exaggeration. Now, that does not mean we should ignore such a statement, just not to take it literally. In the Semitic understanding, the word hate meant to love less. We can test when someone is using exaggerated speech and not literal command by checking that saying against both common sense and against other statements in the scriptures. Jesus does not command or even tolerate hate toward anyone, much less the closest circles of family. He did not even hate those who crucified him. Of all relationships to cherish, immediate family is the most precious: parents, spouse, children, and siblings. And the scripture is chock full with encouragement to do so. Only when the loves of our life are in order can we truly be a disciple of Jesus. That is, we love God first, and second, we love our family. Anyone who puts the love of family or the love of self or the love of country above the love and loyalty to God is not an obedient and mature disciple. What Jesus demands is a wholehearted, complete commitment without distraction. And that, brothers and sisters, is no exaggeration. Throughout the history of the church, we have experienced a disordering of our love relationships in what is now known as the sexual abuse crisis by the clergy and religious of our church. And this crisis is no exaggeration, but cold-faced reality. So after consultation with the pastoral council and through the generosity of a parishioner who wishes to remain anonymous, we are offering you today the latest book written by Bishop Robert Barron. This little book is entitled Letter to a Suffering Church. A bishop speaks on the sexual abuse crisis. Unlike Kent Brockman of The Simpsons, Bishop Barron is one of the most prominent Catholic bishops in America, and by consensus, a most talented and natural communicator and evangelist. He wrote this book for fellow Catholics who feel, understandably, demoralized, scandalized, angry beyond words, and ready to quit. He urges our fellow brothers and sisters in the church to stay and fight, and to do so on behalf of themselves and their families, but especially on behalf of those who have suffered so grievously at the hands of wicked men. The profits from his book will go to organizations supporting abuse victims. His book is not an apology for how the church has handled the abuse scandals, because we know that story. It's been abysmal. Bishop Barron bluntly calls on Catholics to push back. Fight by raising your voice in protest. Fight by writing a letter of complaint. Fight by insisting that protocols be followed. Fight by reporting offenders. Fight by pursuing the guilty until they are punished. Fight by refusing to be mollified by pathetic excuses. Barron said that he understands the impulse to express protest and disappointment. In the secular world, the way to let a company know we don't like its products is to stop buying them. In politics, we show disapproval of leaders by not voting for them. In the same way, many Catholics may be tempted to manifest their anguish over the abuse crisis by just not showing up. Barron writes, "There's never a good reason to leave the church. It's leaving the mystical body of Christ, the sacraments, the Eucharist, the means to eternal life. Boycotting does enormous self-damage. That's way too high a price to pay. If you have found in Jesus everlasting life, salvation, the answer to the deepest longings of your heart, then no matter how difficult things become, no matter how many of our fellows might drift away, you must stay," he writes in his book. He urges us to do what it takes to ring the bell. He could even understand why some may want to suspend giving money to the church until they see real change. "I want to rouse the lay faithful to fight for their church." Well, this crisis raises a few questions. Most of all might be, why am I a Catholic? I am a Catholic not because of some bishop or priest. I am a Catholic and a priest because of Jesus Christ and the church he founded. What am I bearing as a result of this crisis? How am I personally wounded? What relationships to people or things prevent me from putting Christ first? And how can I shore up the foundation of my faith in the light of this crisis? According to a statistic Bishop Barron cites, in the wake of the sexual abuse scandals, 37% of Catholics are seriously considering leaving the church. If we are considering leaving the church, we should have a better reason than the sinfulness of the church and its leaders as a human institution. There is simply never a good reason to leave the church. Never. Plenty of good reasons to exist to criticize church people like you and me. legitimate reasons to be angry about corruption, stupidity, careerism, clericalism, cruelty, greed, and sexual misconduct on the part of leaders of the church. But grounds for turning away from the grace of Christ in which eternal life is found? No, never under any circumstances. On the next five Tuesdays, as we did during the season of Lent, every parishioner on our email list will receive a video message from Bishop Barron and his Word on Fire Institute following the five chapters of his book. On Wednesday, September 18th, I'm inviting parishioners to join me in a sharing discussion on what we've read and how this crisis has touched our lives personally. In Luke's Gospel today, Jesus told his would-be followers a second time that if they wish to be his disciples, they must take up their crosses and follow him. For us today, the cross is not so much a symbol of violence or brutality, but of complete and total gift of self that Jesus completes on Calvary. On the cross and in this Eucharist, Jesus pours out all the love he can give, and he invites us to do the same. Take up your cross and follow me.